WKGC, your local public radio station. Good morning. This is The Mix. I'm Tori Shea, your host, after that long version of Guns N' Roses' November Rain. We all needed a little Guns N' Roses this morning. Hi there, Tom. How are you?
Good. We all needed a nap, so...
So there you go.
There you go. It's not very nappy music. Could you find, if you're going to play a 10-minute song, could you play something a little...
You never know when that is going to happen, when you pick a song and then it turns out to be the long version or the live version. You never know. Our 27,000 song library will surprise you sometimes.
It does sometimes. It does at that.
Well, we have to say good morning to the other folks in the studio. We are having a guest roundtable. Trisha Pierce from the Life Management Center. Hello.
Hi.
And Captain Daffin from the Bay County Sheriff's Office is here as well.
Good morning.
Good morning. And that has nothing to do with the fact that our regular host, Captain Kirkman, is not here.
Nothing.
It had nothing to do with the sheriff's office or...
And that outstanding warrant?
No, nothing to do with the outstanding warrant.
Okay. I just wondered because it just seemed really suspicious. We get a police officer showing up and Scott
and
skips.
And Scott just ducks out at the last minute, too.
It looks suspicious.
It does look a little bit suspicious.
There might be
Scott Kirkman is so just...
Yeah. We'll have to check him out.
Check him out. But the reason we've gathered everyone here this morning is to talk about youth gangs and drug use and violence in the community. But before we get to that, Tom brought up a very good point. We have not discussed Hurricane Harvey yet. And
I just feel that, first of all, my heart goes out to those people. And I have had my house flooded twice here in Bay County.
That's right.
Which brings me to something else. Please check your insurance. This morning I heard an estimate that there might be as many as 40,000 houses damaged in Houston. The percentage by rising water alone, I don't know. But only the other estimate they said was about 80% of the houses that are flooded do not have flood insurance. Your homeowners will not pay for rising water. You have to have flood insurance. So just please look at where you are. Look at what's going to happen in Bay County if we get 30 or 40 inches of rain, and decide whether or not signing on to the federal flood insurance program is a good idea, because there is no way of getting your money back. Once it's flooded, it's ruined unless you have insurance.
That's right.
So please check your flood insurance.
Yeah, if your condo was built on a coastal dune lake, you might want to check your flood insurance.
If you're living in...
Mine is. That's why I brought it up. I'm not making fun of anyone else but myself.
Yeah. I spoke with the folks in Lynn Haven about flood several times because I live there and I've been flooded a couple of times. And the thought around their office was, look, if there's a Category 5 hurricane comes ashore in Bay County, they doubt any part of the original plat of Lynn Haven will remain unflooded.
Wow.
So, and Lynn Haven's not the only place like that. Lynn Haven's just one of them in Bay County and the surrounding counties. Mm-hmm. If you live in a low-lying area, if you're not 12, 18 feet above water, you really need, even though you're not required to by your bank, you really need to consider looking at flood insurance.
Absolutely. And in the wake of Hurricane Harvey, we're also poised, waiting for some scams, potentially. The Bay County Sheriff's Office.
That will come out.
Public information. Ruth sent out a memo yesterday about scams, people sending out emails or making phone calls in attempts to fundraise for flooding victims of Hurricane Harvey. So that press release has urged us all to go with a local charity. Both the Red Cross and the Salvation Army number and contacts are on our Facebook page, 907-WKGC. And just the best thing to research the folks that you might be giving to if you want to help out.
Yes. The Red Cross is going to do a good job. The Salvation Army is going to do a good job. I see the... Oh, what is that? The Southern Baptist
disaster relief fund,
and the Catholic Charities are over there now. So these are people; they're not going to scam you. They're out there just to do good. So be really careful if somebody calls you up and tries to get you to donate. You might want to say that's fine, but I'll just send my money to Salvation Army.
Right. I also got a. If you saw the email from this morning from our IT department, that there has been a phishing scam attempt already here with some Gulf Coast employees. So this is happening.
Yes. So be careful. Use the big name charities unless you're sure you know who you're giving your money to, because they need it and they're going to need help over there for years. It's a disaster of epic proportion over there.
It is.
And some of those people aren't going to be able to get back into their house for a month because the water will stay up in a month. And you can't believe how horrible it is to leave your house, and when you get back, you have nothing except what you took with you.
I know. I can only imagine. Mm-hmm. But there are some local folks that need our help, too, the youth in our community, and that's why we've assembled these guests this morning. And I'll say good morning again to Tricia Pierce from the Life Management Center.
Good morning.
And Captain James Daffin from the Bay County Sheriff's Office. Earlier this month, there was a shooting, and I'll recap the story for everyone. Captain Daffin, if I get anything wrong or if there have been any changes, just stop me. Earlier this month, a shooting involving high school-age drug dealers, possible gang members, and numerous juvenile witnesses led to the death of one local man, Jason Ian Price. Bay County Sheriff's deputies continue to investigate this shooting, which happened in the CVS parking lot at Wildwood Road. That was August 20th. And as Price ran to the aid of his friends, this drug deal gone wrong put him in the firing line of what was believed to be 21-year-old DeMarcus Giddens, AK-47. That gun has been recovered by police. And it was unclear to me whether the four men from Auburn were suspected as gang members or if that has been confirmed now.
At this time, we don't have any information. They're involved in gangs. Mm-hmm. Is it likely? They very well could be back mm-hmm. home, but we do not have information supporting that at this time.
Okay. But they were both groups were looking to buy and sell drugs.
That is correct.
Okay. I guess one, the deal went both ways. The gentleman from Auburn were looking for some pills or were selling some pills.
There was two transactions, right. One from the kids from Auburn, Alabama, to our local kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, there was a second transaction that was set up, which was our kids selling to the individuals from Auburn, Alabama.
Right. Okay. And you are holding three of the four men from Auburn, Alabama. One, I guess, was just a bystander.
He was part of the group and part of the original transactions.
Right.
When they got over to the CVS for the second transaction, he actually got on the bench, and I think because he was under the influence, actually fell asleep on the bench and did not partake in any of the activities.
In the shooting part. Yes, okay, ma'am. Gotcha. So are all four of these guys in Bay County Jail?
Three of them.
That individual was
very cooperative throughout the investigation, and as I said, he wasn't involved in the shooting nor the robbery of the kids, the local kids, so he was not taken into custody.
Right, okay. So all three are facing armed robbery charges, and then 24-year-old Gertravius Montrez Canada is Giddens was the shooter, and he's held on an open count of murder still. There are several murder charges pending.
That is correct. Felony murder on
The shooter,
Gertavius Canada,
yes.
And on Rodney
Jones,
and then an open count of murder for DeMarcus Giddens.
Right, and these are all young people. This is what I wanted to point out. 18-year-old Rodney Jones, one is 21 and another 24, and just because they're adults. I've also seen, Ruth is so great about sending out press releases from your public information office, but I see too often, even if it's just a local event, that the shooter is 21 or 20 or 17, and then they're, of course, treated like an adult. So that was part of some of my questions. So Is this a trend? Are you seeing, what kind of trends are you seeing in this youth or young adult drug cases?
What we're seeing more of is a lot of, it's a lot of the same. It's young youth coming from other states into our community. Mm-hmm. And, they're looking to exploit the kids in our community or anybody that's willing to deal with them in our community. And unfortunately, I hate to say this, but I have been to other states trying to locate some of these individuals. And there are some neighborhoods that law enforcement will not go into.
Really?
Because of maybe politics or because they don't feel like they're supported in their actions. And, you know, a lot of these kids, not necessarily these from Auburn, but some other communities, they come from those communities where there's not a lot of consequences for their actions.
Right.
And they get used to that lifestyle, and then they come into our community and continue living that same lifestyle. And it's shocking to us because we don't tolerate it here. And
right.
we are relentless in getting these guys held accountable. But it's shocking to us that, kids nowadays, and like you just said, it's a lot of young youth.
Yeah.
And, in older times, there may be a little scuffle up out there or whatnot, but now, they are quick to pull a gun, and a lot of times they know that if this is a drug deal and
yes.
they're going to try to rob somebody for their money or for their drugs, at the end of the day, most of those aren't going to get reported to law enforcement because nobody wants to call and say, "Hey, I was out here dealing drugs and I got robbed."
Yeah.
And these guys know that, and they exploit it. They come into our community and they look for opportunities like this. So,
okay, so this is that could be a planned crime.
Absolutely. It is 100%. A lot of these individuals that come into our community look for this exact opportunity to take advantage, victimize people that are here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what can happen when you take that opportunity in dealing with people you don't know or you're involved in this kind of activity. It's a chance you take every time.
So are there gangs here in Bay County?
I would love to say that there are no gangs in Bay County.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are gangs in Bay County. I think here locally, as I said, in other communities that I've gone to, they are very prevalent.
Yes.
I think we do a good job here staying after that, kind of documenting, knowing who's who in our community, and
mm-hmm.
trying to be proactive to suppress criminal activity. So I think that all in all, not just the sheriff's office, other municipalities, I think they all do a good job at trying to stay, like I said, consequences for actions. And I think that helps it from getting out of control like it is in other communities.
Right. Now, Brandon, I know you're a Gulf Coast State College student, but you have a younger brother in high school, and you remember high school better than anyone else, me or Tom. And you're went to high school in a time, a current time, mm-hmm. Unlike me and Tom. You're welcome. Did you have any contact with gangs, or did you know? You don't have to. Does your brother mention there are gang members in his classes? What did you see when you were in high school? What do you hear from your bro?
Well, my brother and I both we didn't really get that interaction with those kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then we'd have someone that we would know get involved in something, but other than that, we didn't really get involved in that. We stayed more towards the Christian clubs and the more like the anime and video game clubs at school. So we were hanging around other people that weren't involved in crime or gangs or anything like that.
Were there a few people? There was an element, though.
And recently, Mosley, which is where I went to, a lot of the students there have been in the news recently, and I was picking my brother up from school last week, and there were a couple of officers that were, I think it was Panama City Police, that were around that area for a bit. They were stopping some other kids, but there is a little bit.
Right.
Just, we don't...
Well, we're glad you and your brother stayed away from it. And we're going to talk to, we'll play a song, but when we come back, we want to talk to Tricia from the Life Management Center about how kids get involved in drug activity and why they slide down this slippery slope.
And what can parents look for in their kids so that early intervention is possible?
This is The Mix on WKGC 90.7 FM and HD.
Stayed with me through thick and thin. You watched me lose, you watched me win. You picked me up off of the ground. You You never one time let me down. And you put me on a natural high, and I can fly, I can fly. I was drowning in a sea of make-believe, as helpless as a fallen leaf. You gave your hand to me that day, and you did it 'cause you're made that way. And you put me on a natural high, and I can fly, I can fly. Remember these three words. I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you. And you put me on a natural high, and I can fly. I can fly. I can fly, I can fly.
WKGC, your local public radio station, Natural High. It's Merle Haggard with Janie Fricke. That one was for Tricia.
Did we just play Guns N' Roses and then Merle Haggard?
We played Guns N' Roses, we played the Eagles, we played Merle Haggard.
Okay, I just don't want anybody to get
whipped. This is the mix.
It is.
Good morning.
I think we need to turn the blender up to another
just
speed.
Or turn it down.
It's not
one
as mixed
way.
As I thought it was.
Well, we have Tricia Pierce from the Life Management Center is in the studio, along with Captain James Daffin from the Bay County Sheriff's Office. We're talking about youth addiction and gang violence this morning. And Tricia, tell us a little bit about what the Life Management Center does, and also as we've been talking about this, what makes kids want to get into drugs?
Life Management Center is our community mental health center.
Mm-hmm.
We provide mental and behavioral health care to over 13,000 people every year.
Really?
Of all ages.
Okay.
From small kids up to end of life stages. So, you know, all ages, all different types of services, as far as some basic counseling if somebody needs that,
right,
all the way up to psychiatry and emergency services when someone needs that type of help. So as far as the other question was,
yes, what sends kids down this slippery slope of wanting to do drugs or deal drugs,
yeah,
or then even get involved in a gang? I mean, how does this happen?
Yeah, there's a lot of different reasons, a lot of different ways, you know, that can start. It can be as simple as peer pressure. The kids,
yeah,
that they're around, those that they're hanging around, peer pressure to be involved in those things that their friends are involved in.
Mm-hmm.
It can be other ways that they're around it. Some kids, unfortunately, are even around parents that maybe already use the substance. So
okay,
it's a learned behavior for them. That's what they know. So they're going to pick it up too.
Right.
Some kids, you know, when you talk about mental illness, a lot of times, mm-hmm, people think about adults. Mental illness often starts as a kid.
Yes.
You know, the average age for mental illnesses for anxiety, for example, to start, I believe, is around 12 or 13 years old. So someone who has a mental illness may reach for a substance because it's a way to do what we call self-medicating. They may not have good coping skills. Right. So this is a way that it helps them feel better. So there's a lot of different reasons that somebody may start using a drug of some sort. And I say drug, that could even include alcohol. You know, alcohol is actually the most used substance.
Sure.
So.
Okay.
What signs as a parent, which unfortunately I'm over that now, but... what would I be looking for if I were raised, if I had a teenager growing up in the house? What would I be looking for in order to see that there might be a problem that you guys could help with before it got terribly bad?
Sure. You know, the interesting part is that with young people, that can be one of the most challenging times to identify.
Right.
Things that are going on, because kids are going through so much as a teen and going through so many changes in their life anyways.
You think, oh, it's just a teenage thing.
Right. So I actually teach youth mental health first aid classes. It is for people that work with youth, teaching them what to look for and how to know the difference between, you know, typical teen behavior and a problem. Mm-hmm. So some of the things that you can look for is a frequent change of friends, especially if parents aren't familiar with those friends or they may disapprove of those friends. The kids start withdrawing from family bonding routines and activities. And a lot of times they're not replacing that with some other type of bonding. They may prefer to be left alone, skip family dinner, mm-hmm. those types of things. They may start violating agreed upon hours of curfew restrictions. If they're seeking drugs or alcohol, they may often invent stories or behaviors to cover their tracks. If uncharacteristically, if I can talk, mm-hmm. If they start showing unusual and violent behavior after maybe a trivial argument or just a simple request.
Okay.
You may start seeing them slur speech if they're actually under the influence of something. You might see that their eyes are bloodshot or they've got very dilated pupils or pinpoint pupils. The teen might start limiting their communication or become unusually talkative with incoherent type speech, you know, if they're under the influence.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you can see deterioration of school grades, skipping of classes. And all these things are things that you look at that are changes for that child.
Right.
If I think I see those signs, do you guys have a, if I see those signs in my teenager, can mm-hmm. I come and talk to you about it? I mean, and see if you think there's an intervention or some form of help that's needed.
Right. What would you do then?
Sure. The best thing would be to set up an appointment for your child with us. And there's other services around town also. But we would do an evaluation, sit mm-hmm. down and talk to that child and see what's going on. And one of the main things that we start looking for, because when we work at Life Management Center with people who have substance use disorders, we work with them when they have a co-occurring mental illness.
Right.
So one of the things that we're going to be doing is digging for that root cause.
Yes.
What's going on so that we can provide the services they need to help with that.
Yeah. Oftentimes people don't realize that the drug use or alcohol use mm-hmm. is a symptom.
Right.
As opposed to the actual disease
right.
or cause of their problem. That is just a symptom of what the root problem is. And if you could go in and find that root problem, whether it was a trauma or an anxiety or what
right.
have you, then you wouldn't want to reach for the drugs or the camaraderie mm-hmm. of a gang, like a negative mm-hmm. friend situation. You wouldn't need that.
Right. And it's not always the case that it's co-occurring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we mentioned peer pressure.
Right.
Getting somebody involved. It depends on the person, but we look at that to see, you know, what type of services somebody is going to need. And then we set them up for services based on their particular needs.
Great.
So, and that could include counseling. It could include psychiatric care if there's the mental illness piece there. And a lot of that is teaching them coping skills that will hopefully help them make the right choice to help them instead of reaching for the substance.
Right. Now, what about the parents that just can't come to terms with that? Do some parents just sort of cover it up or write it off to, oh, they're just teenagers, maybe they'll grow out of it?
Well, you know, I mentioned sometimes it can be hard to tell the difference.
Yes.
So, you know, I think it's important for a parent to be able to look at things and determine, try to figure out if it's a problem or if they're just seeing typical teen behavior
mm-hmm.
and answer that for themselves. And a lot of that is, you know, asking yourself questions like, okay, if they're not spending as much time with family, they're a teenager. They're right. starting to gain some independence.
Sure.
So that's okay, but are they doing something else? Are they just spending time in their bedroom, or are they spending time with people that maybe you're concerned about who right. they're with?
Could a teen come on their own? Maybe if their parents weren't involved or weren't paying attention, could a teen finally say, hey, I just need this. I'm only 16, but I'm going to call up the Life Management Center.
Sure. They can call us and we'll work with them to see what they need to do. They can also reach out to a school counselor who, if they feel like they need to see us, can reach out to us.
Okay.
So there's different avenues that they can do. We also have an emergency line that anybody can call 24/7.
Great.
And just call us at 522-4485. And that could be the teen themselves if they wanted to call that and talk to somebody.
Okay, fantastic. Tell us, we'll go back to Captain Daffin for a minute. We're talking about things the community could do or parents could do. Is there anything we can do for you to make your job easier?
I was just fixing to say to kind of in the point y'all were just talking about as far mm-hmm. as the parents, and if they have questions and they're seeing some of this stuff
right.
and they're not sure if something's involved or not or if their kid's involved, a misconception we have when we meet with parents
right.
in cases that we deal with, a lot of times the parents act like their children have an expectation of privacy. At the end of the day, that child, if that child's under your roof and under the age of 18,
right.
they do not have an expectation of privacy. Parents can go in their room. They can go through their drawers. They can go through their vehicle.
Right.
They can check everything about that child. They should have every password to every app, to everything on that phone. And if they have questions, if they go through these steps, a lot of those questions can be answered, and you'll find out pretty quick. I mean, a lot of these kids that we deal with, we'll go into homes and we'll find narcotics in the child's room, and the parents are baffled, and I can't believe
right.
this is in my child's room. And it just makes you, like I said, I guess it's just naive not thinking
right.
that they can go.
You're not nosy. You're a parent.
You're a parent.
Right. You're supposed to know these things. You're
That's
supposed
your
to be checking. And if you suspect, you're supposed to be going through the closet and the drawers to head this off.
I would add that it can be anybody, too. You know, a lot of times they think, it can't be my kid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it can be any kid from any walk of life.
Yeah.
And there's accountability if that child knows. Could they go and start hiding stuff elsewhere? Possibly, but it's just going to make it that much more difficult on the child, and it's accountability at the end of the day. So
right. Well, we will play another song. This is The Mix, talking about youth addiction and gang violence. This is Foreigner on WKGC 90.7 FM and HD.
You
WKGC, your local public radio station. This is The Mix. I'm Tori Shea. We are in the middle of a roundtable with youth addiction and gang violence. This topic comes up earlier this month. There was a shooting involving some high school-aged kids as well as some possible gang members. Jason Ian Price is now no longer with us as Bay County Sheriff's deputies continue to investigate this case, which has, like I said, lots of juvenile witnesses, and you're digging deep into that. So we're talking with Captain Jason Daffin from the Bay County Sheriff's Office. I'm sorry about that. And Tricia Pierce from the Life Management Center. Good morning.
Good morning.
Again, we thank you so much for coming. And we also have been talking about how the community can help on this topic, how parents can see warning signs, as well as what we can do for you guys and your organization if we if we have a friend or a neighbor who's in need of your services. So, Tricia, if you would go ahead and recap your contact info. If someone needs help, whether it's just a small problem or maybe an addiction problem or worse, we can call the Life Management Center.
Sure.
Right?
Just give us a call at 850-522-4485. And that's to set up an appointment. If you need to come in and see us, it's also a line that can be used 24/7 for emergency situations.
Great. And Captain Daffin, we appreciate the work you're doing at the Bay County Sheriff's Office. And we touched on anything we can do to make your job easier as citizens in the community to help decrease youth offenders.
Yes, ma'am, and I appreciate y'all having us on so that we can get that word out there and maybe give some parents some more tools to be able to help keep an eye out.
And you're always available to give those tips.
Yes, ma'am.
One thing I forgot to mention, of course, once someone is an offender and they do get into your system, we're hoping to prevent that. But even when that happens down at the Bay County Jail, you do have a program to help offenders not fall back into addiction and crime.
We do, and I know we're short on time, but we have a lifeline program that's through the jail. Mm-hmm. And then in the last little bit, we've also added a mental resilience type training from an ex-Navy SEAL. And he goes out there, and it basically focuses on physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. They kind of refer to it as a boot camp, but there's homework involved, deep thought and training on how to handle stress.
Right.
Some of those symptoms that may cause you to have addiction problems, but teach you how to, overcome those stresses and how to handle it in a more positive role. So they have implemented that out at the jail as well.
Great. And for high school students, there is always a counselor. Mm-hmm. At the high school, and that counselor is in touch with folks like Tricia and other resources around the community that can help if you need someone to talk to.
Right. If a kid's in school, they can reach out to their counselor, and that counselor can get in touch with us if they feel like that is the need.
Great. Tom and Brandon, did you have any more questions for
No,
for
just
our
again,
esteemed guests?
If you can afford to, a little off subject, going back to the beginning of the show, if you can afford to, please help out our sisters and brothers over in Houston. Those people are in for a tough year.
They are. With that, we will check the weather. This is The Mix on WKGC 90.7 FM and HD.